I just talked with Adeline Hounds, and she informs me that yesterday they had to rush Divakar back to hospital. So let's just, two or three of us, lead out in prayer. He's developed a very high fever, and it may be connected with infection in the urinary tract. And the doctor this morning will see him, and we can pray for both Dr. Chitre and Kriprika, who are treating him, and for Adeline and the daughters, that they might have God's peace as they help their dad. So any two or three lead in prayer. Amen. Our Father, we thank you that our lives are secure in you. And we pray that Adeline, Naisha, and Carolyn will know this as they help their dad in the hospital now. And we particularly want to pray for Diva that you would help him to know you in your presence and know that you are Lord in his life. May he recognize his sovereignty, recognize your lordship, recognize your will, and surrender his life totally, and do that security that comes of a child surrenders into the hands of the Father. We also think of Robin. Hopefully, pray that your comfort, your presence, your peace, and your healing power will be experienced by him. Be with our young people who are traveling to get here with Vishal, and we pray that you will bring them into our midst with joy. continue to help us to focus on the glory of your cross, where you sent your Son to die for us. You devised this plan. You made it happen. You poured your wrath upon your Son to save us from that wrath to come. So bless our time around your word again this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles, take on to Matthew chapter 26 and 27. We look a little bit as we go along at some other references in the other Gospels, but I want us to just take a rundown, Matthew 26 and a little bit into 27. And as we read the text of Scripture and you follow along, move on. You're going to see that the way Jesus died is very, very crucial for us to understand the glory of the plan of God. We can say the glory of the cross and get enamored by the cross, which was where Jesus died. But it's not that wooden structure on which Jesus was crucified, but the whole plan of God. The first verse of that song we sing speaks of what? What's the first line of the first verse? Let me hear it. What? Wisdom? It's echoing. Yes. Just think of that. And when you look at the text of Matthew 26, you see, first of all in that chapter, that the Pharisees and the scribes, they tried hard. Turn to verses 1 to 5. They tried hard to kill Jesus. They really had a plan. At least they thought so. And it says, it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. The Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the place, palace of the high priest, which was called Caiaphas. Who was called Caiaphas? And look at the next word in the King James Version, which I have up there. And consulted, they devised together. They fought together that they might take Jesus by what? Subtlety. They were very, very clever in their plan. Cunning. That word means they were very careful and cunning and clever. And they wanted to kill him. So please note that. But even in that passage, you see, look at the third and fourth line, the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Jesus knew about it already. Without being part of the scribes and Pharisees and the elders and the chief priests who assembled in the palace of the high priest, he was not there, but he knew. Because it was his plan. But the priests, the elders, they thought it was their plan. We move on. Jesus knew he was going to die. I want us to again and again be gripped by this. There were men planning to kill Jesus, but it was not their plan. that succeeded. It was God's plan. So we're just looking at the text and we move on. Verses 6 to 13. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box. And most of us know this story. Very precious ointment, poured it on his head. But when the disciples saw it, they were upset. Indignation means they were very upset. And they were saying, what a waste of this ointment. Because the value of it was a whole year's salary. This could have been sold and given to the poor. We think that way too, right? Whole year's rations. Just poured on someone's feet. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why do you trouble this woman? Why? Because she has done a good work upon me. For in that she has poured this ointment, the next line, on my body she did it for my burial. Here is a man who's not even dead yet. And he's saying, you know what this woman is doing? She's anointing my feet. She's preparing me for my burial. He knew he was going to die. We move on. This whole time this morning, we're going to just understand that Judas thought that he was going to help kill Jesus. That's what he thought. The chief priests thought they were planning it. Judas thought so. So in verses 14 and 6 up to 16, we see the text says, he went to the chief priests. He said to them, what will you give me that I might deliver him to you? I'm going to get some money from you and I will hand over Jesus to you. That's my plan. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And that, from that time, what was he doing? What is Judas planning? All the time, from that moment onwards, he was planning for an opportunity. One chance. Let me get that. One chance to deliver Jesus over to be killed. That's my plan. That's what he thought. Jesus knew he was going to die because it was his plan. Move on. Look at the next few verses, 17 to 18 of Matthew 26. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where will thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say to him, see, it's his plan. The master says, my time is at hand. It is my time. The time has come. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, again and again, there is a phrase that is repeated. When the chief priests of the Jews wanted to capture Jesus, and they could not, or they tried to kill him. It says in the Bible, his time had not yet come. Here Jesus is saying, go prepare for the Passover meal. And the reason is, my time. Whose time? You know, we miss the mind. My time. Who's in control of the plan? Jesus. And that is part of the glory of the cross. Jesus planned it all with his Father. Jesus knew he was going to die all through his life. That's why he had come. That's the glory of the cross. Verses 19 to 25, when the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made everything ready, and as they were eating, he said what? Read those words in red, even though it's a little difficult to read. Read it with me. Verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. That's amazing. You're sitting there with friends, huh? Disciples, you picked them. You chose them to be with you and to send them out to do your ministry. And Jesus having the Passover meal, which we commonly call as the what supper? The last supper. Which means this is his farewell supper. This is his farewell to them. And he says, I know. Because it's my plan. And this is the glory of the cross that Jesus planned it. You're going to betray me. And they were all sad. And everyone said, Lord, is it I? And Judas is sitting there and he's also saying, what a pretender, huh? Is it I? Can it be me, Lord? And Jesus says very specifically, read the words in red, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish. I mean, we're sharing this meal. And we're having fellowship. Very intimate. The same shall betray me. The glory of the cross. Jesus is so sure. And he can even pinpoint who's going to do it. That's the glory of the cross. Son of Man goes. What's the last few words? Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, what? Master, is it I? And what does Jesus say in front of everybody? You said so. And Judas goes to betray Jesus. That's the glory of the cross. That's the glory of the cross. That is happening in front of everybody. And Jesus knows it all. And he planned it all. We move on. Jesus knew he was going to die. Matthew 26, 31 and 32. Jesus says to them, all of you will be offended this night. You'll all get hurt. You will all be offended. And that word includes, you know, the confusion and the pain of what was going to happen to Jesus, their master. For it is written, I will smite, hit the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. The glory of the cross includes that statement, that fact. The shepherd is going to be hit, the sheep are going to be scattered. But look at the glory of the cross that continues to be glory. But after I am risen again. He not only knew he was going to die, he knew he was going to rise again. I will meet you in Galilee. Move on. Jesus knew he was going to die. But he also knew he was going to rise again. 36 to 39, Jesus comes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the text goes on to say, ask the disciples to pray. As he goes to pray. But they are what? Sorrowful. Peter, James, and John, the two sons of Zebedee. They are not only sorrowful, the text says they were very heavy hearted. They were totally zapped. This is a bad time in the the Garden of Gethsemane, you see their master really heavily burdened. And what does Jesus say? This is part of the glory of the cross. Take it in. What does he say? He says, my soul, not just my heart, not just my head, my total being is exceedingly sorrowful. Too much. This is just too much. Even unto death. You notice that? Did you realize that's part of the glory of the cross? Wait here. Watch with me. He fell on his face saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The glory of the cross. Move on. Jesus surrendered to the Father's will for him to die. Move on. Verse 42. Again, he prayed, oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. The cup represents the anger of God. The anger of God against sin. Whose sin? Not Jesus' sin. Our sin. Not just our sin, my sin. The glory of the cross. Beauty was going to die. The scene shifts in verses 51 to 56, where one of them, most likely Peter, used his sword to cut off one of the ears of one of the servants of the high priest. And Jesus told him, don't do that. And heal that servant. And what are the words in red? Do you think that I, what are the words? Caesar. 12 legions of angels can come right now. I have to be humiliated. I have to be crushed. I have to be in this heavy, burdened position. And Jesus speaks to the crowd that was coming to take him. You come to me as if I'm a thief? Can you bring swords to arrest me? I sat, Jesus said. I sat how many times? Daily in the temple. And you had put a big over me. All of us are. You know what Jesus said? If you just had read your Bibles, the Old Testament, you yourselves would have known that this was planned. Not by you, but by God. And what did the disciples do? They ran away. They were afraid. Jesus willingly died for us, his sheep. Are you part of his sheep? In John chapter 10, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd abandons, sacrifices, gives his life for the sheep. Jesus willingly died for us, his sheep. John chapter 10, verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus willingly died for us. Is she? Are you one of them? Goes on to say, therefore, the Father loves me because I lay down my life. But that's not it. That's not the end of the story. Oh yes, that is very much core to the glory of the cross. That Jesus died for me. But he says, I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man, no man taketh it from me. But I lay down of myself. I lay down of myself. I have power. Lay it down. I have power to lay it down. That is such a huge statement. I have power to die. That's what he's saying. I have power to die for you. And I have power to resurrect myself. This commandment I have received of my Father. You know, Pilate had said to him in John 19, it is recorded, why don't you speak to me? Do you know who I am? I am the governor. I have the power to release you. But I have the power. Jesus answered, look at him. He is standing there for everyone to see, including Pilate, the power of Rome. The power of Augustus Caesar, or whoever was the Caesar then. He has power, he thinks. The chief priests and the crowds, as they look at Jesus, they see only a weak, helpless prisoner who has no power. And Pilate is standing in front of him and says, do you not know I have power to kill you, to get you executed, or to release you? And what does Jesus answer? This seemingly helpless prisoner is standing there and saying, you could have no power at all. Can you imagine standing before the government of that time and saying, you have no power at all, except it were given to you from above? And Jesus is not mocking him. Jesus is not teasing him. Jesus is saying it as a matter of fact. You have no power Therefore, he who delivered me to you had the greatest sin. Move on. Jesus willingly died for us, for me, the sheep. Can you say that? We go back to Matthew chapter 27, 45, 46, and what does it say? He's there on the cross. It's the sixth hour. It was afternoon when the sun should be bright and shining, but darkness came over all the land for 3 hours. And about that ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you left me?" Because he willingly died for us. Goes on to say, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he let go. He released his spirit, his life, to the Father. The glory of the cross. He was in control. Luke 23, 46, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hand I commend my spirit." And having said this, he gave up his life. In John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus therefore received that vinegar, he said, "It is over." Salvation has come. It's been achieved. I've done everything for sinners to have forgiveness. And he bowed his head and gave up his life, surrendered his life to the Father. God planned the death of his Son. And God planned his resurrection. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 22 to 24, Peter stands up and he says, "You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man," because Jesus had to become man, a human being. He left his glory and took on our human flesh so that he could die. He was approved of God. And when he did all his miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did in your midst, and you yourselves know him being delivered by what? The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This was pre-planned before the creation of the world. It was determined in the wisdom of God. You took him by wicked hands. You're responsible, no doubt about it. But it was God's plan. And you crucified him. But God raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held. What is all that the glory of the cross entails? It is the recognition that God planned it. God planned it, and Jesus willingly came to die for you and me. Through all that suffering, humiliation,
and shame. He was in total control. That's glorious. That's magnificent. And we need to grasp that. Jesus was willing, even before we were born, Jesus was willing, even before the creation of the world, to be humiliated thus, so that you and I could be born again, could be saved from our sins, and could have new life. And our response can only be what the centurion had. You know, the man who was in charge of killing Jesus, organizing the whole thing, who had seen blood shed through scourging, through wars, through executions. Tough man. You couldn't break the centurion easily. But he stood watching all this and he saw the earthquake too. And all those things that were done. What did he say? Really? This is true. I have no doubt about it that this is the Son of God. He is God. Is that your response? One. What do you say? Let's bow in prayer. Saying, oh, the glory of the cross. And you can think that you're a Christian, that you're a believer. But are you really? Have you really understood that Jesus did it all for you? And he planned it a long, long time. Because he loved you. And have you really embraced the glory of the cross? Let's sing that song once again.
Revise the plan for all our sin and pride. Was placed upon the perfect man who suffered, bled, and died. This marvelous sovereign God, whose greatness will be shown. When those who crucified your Son rejoice around your throne. Oh, the glory of the cross, and you send your glory. I gladly got my life as well, and I might come to know the glory. What righteousness was there revealed, the sin forgiven for him, that justified ungodly men and called the filthy clean. A righteousness that proves pure, your justice has been met. And holy wrath is satisfied to one atoning death. And the glory of the cross. You sent your Son for us. I gladly count my life as lost, that I might come to know the glory of the glory of the cross. What mercy now has been proclaimed for those who would believe. A loving, comprehensible, minds could not conceive. A mercy that forgives my sin and makes me like your Son. And now I'm loved forevermore because of what you've done. And glory of the cross. You sent your Son for us. I gladly count my life as lost, that I might come to the glory of the glory the glory of the cross, that you would send your Son for us. I gladly count my life as lost, that I might come to know the glory of the cross.
Father, we thank you so much for the fact that even though men planned and thought they were in charge, you were. You planned it from the foundation of the world to send Jesus to die for us. For me, take away your wrath, the punishment for our sin. What glorious plan. What glorious life. What glorious courage in the face of death. What glorious willingness to embrace the punishment on our behalf. What a glorious death that saved me from your wrath. And what a glorious resurrection. He's alive today. Your Son is alive. Lives in us. The hope of glory. We rejoice in these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Breakfast is late, so we're going to have breakfast now, and then come at 10. Alright? Because if you don't eat breakfast and you listen to another message, you might... You're hungry? Yeah, so let's go for breakfast now. Unfortunately, this place has breakfast at 9:30 until. Did you know that, Sadhu? But let's try and get them at 9. So let's hurry, go breakfast, and come back at 10.
the under the blanket.
mix of a... What about Don from Smith?
That is number one.
Revelation 34. Huh?
Page 10.
Thank you.
Thinking that I knew one person was based on that, and we sang that yesterday. So, you know, our glory only. Come let my voice be the Lord's innocence. I think we did have a time. It's a camp song.
My Redeemer, who set
my feet. Yeah. They don't even know that. They don't know it. Huh? It's there, 35, Baba. See that?
Page 11. Thank you.
Yeah.